Blog Talk Radio.
It is what it is.
Peace, 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 family. Welcome back. We are back once again in the building, Collective Minds Radio. I'm your host, Brother Kev. And
I'm Roger.
My sister, Roger. Yes, sir. Roger's still in the building. Still waiting on our brother Mufasa Ra to chime in, but we are Collective Minds Radio. Huh?
I know who's in.
Oh, okay, okay. Mufasa Ra, what's good? You can't hear him. I can't hear him. He might still be on mute. But anyway,
yeah.
Y'all, this Collective Minds Radio, we are back again, hopefully to share some constructive dialogue with the family, chop it up, talk about a few things. This show, we are doing an open discussion. So please, like we always say, Collective Minds is not a spectator sport. Please call in, you know, add something to the conversation. The number is 929-477-1697. And again, before we get started, how was y'all week, and do we got any announcements?
My week was great, 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 just lovely, lovely. No announcements, though. I guess we can kind of go over everything during the show, but I had a great week, like always, and I'm thankful for that.
Indeed, indeed. Brother Mufasa, Mufasa Ra, how was your week, and you got any announcements?
I'm sure you had a great weekend. I guess his phone is probably, he's still trying to get his phone.
Got to get his phone together. Okay. no doubt. So I had a good week as well. Shout out to all the Virgos again. It was my wife's birthday Friday, so shout out to my wife. Happy birthday. And also shout out to Roger Starr and Lavelle Crawford. We had an opportunity to see Lavelle Crawford perform at Phoenix Stand Up Live Friday night. And he killed the show. It was funny. You know, great show. Packed house. Small little comedy club, but it was a packed house. So shout out to Lavelle and his manager, Floyd Black. And, of course, my sister, Roger Starr, for hooking that up. And it's been a great week, so I can't complain. We about to, right.
How many days did they have the show? Was it just that one day?
I think he had two nights. He had he had two shows per night, if I'm not mistaken. So I think he had a 7 o'clock show and a
check
10 o'clock.
Two.
We ended up going to the 10 o'clock.
Check one two.
We hear you, brother. Check 1 2. We hear you.
Good.
All right. Brother Mufasa,
yes.
Man. Yes.
Man,
the third of Collective Minds. How was your week?
Man, you know, my week was up and down, roller coaster. The devil tries to get busy.
That's right.
You know, try to affect Mufasa Ra's shine and growth.
That's right. Can't let him win. Can't let him win.
What's up, I'm there with him.
Okay.
I don't know what that was about. I should be here now.
You're breaking
no
up
big
too a little bit. Okay, you was kind of breaking up a little
for me.
Bit.
Yeah, no big announcement, so it is what it is. Let's make it do what it do.
All right. Roger Starr, did you have something else you wanted to get in?
No, I don't have nothing extra special, you know. Just want to encourage everybody to not take life for granted, you know. I just want to put it out there, you know. We lay down and we go to sleep every night, and
right.
We just take things that we're going to get up, you know. So I want everybody just, you know, not take life for granted, you know. It's not promised to nobody. Anything can happen, so. You know, try to be nice to one another. Be nice to yourself. Be nice to your, you know, the people
even
around
the
you. Yeah, it's nothing wrong with smiling. You know, it's nothing wrong with, you know, being happy in it. You know, because it's not promised. You know, so I just want to, you know, just sit send that as a reminder that, you know, tomorrow's not promised, so we want to, you know, be happy and live a pleasant life and try to treat ourselves good and the next person good, you know. So I just want to throw that out there.
All right,
hey, you
indeed.
Know what? What she said, I got a question, but I got a question on both of y'all. Thanks, I asked Roger first. Speaking of life and death, what you think about that movie last night? What you think about that Thanos finger snap? Y'all didn't know our sister Roger, she got to finally watch what's that movie, y'all?
Infinity Wars. Yeah.
Right. So what you think? What's up? What you think about that Thanos snap?
Now, Thanos snap was the big guy, right? Who was wiping out the places.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay. Now, because I will say this, I got distracted twice. Last night I got distracted from my sleep. So I watched a great portion of it. I haven't completed the whole film yet, but I watched more than half. And I did get a chance to hear his position, because I know you was kind of wanting me to really understand his position, and I had the opportunity to at least get to that point when he was talking to his stepdaughter or the girl that he actually took from one of the places he invaded.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
And I heard that. I can see, you know, why you would want me to kind of check his view out to see how I felt about it, because I get it, you know, not saying that I would go about it in his way, you know, because I just think it is what it is now. But if we had have been more conscious thinkers in the beginning of time to not be so careless with our reproduction and how we did reproduce, I think things would be a lot more simpler on humanity, you know, and how we live. I know we didn't discuss this before. We couldn't even go in it again today. How I always say that I think we're overpopulated. Brother Kevin is totally against that. And I know, although I understand what he's saying, but I say that we're overpopulated, not because I don't think that the world can house us and we don't have enough resources, but because of the way that mankind is. You know, we are constantly trying to perfect life the wrong way. We're trying to conclude to a happy state and a peaceful state of mind from the outside of us. And I just think we go about it the wrong way. And the more people that's involved, we all know the harder it is to get everybody on the same accord in the same path. It's hard for
so you do
that
relate.
To happen. I totally relate. I can't say that I agree with his whole plans, but I can relate to him. I really can't.
Yeah.
I do want to see the rest of the movie though, because he may have just said that part, but you know, he could do some other things in the movie that I haven't seen as far as his character though. So far I can relate to his concern about the population of the world and humanity. Yes.
Okay. Cool. So Brother Kev, my quick question to you was, man, you ain't tell us nothing about your trip, dog.
Oh, I just shared a little bit as far as the comedy show, but the trip was outstanding. We got a chance to go to Sedona, Arizona, which they say Sedona is one of the vortices or vortexes on the planet, like supposed to be like one of the planet's chakra systems or whatever, where there's a lot of energy. You know, you got twisting trees around, you got red rocks, you got these different formations of red rocks and it's just a very scenic view. And we got to check out the Grand Canyon as well, which was very humbling. Like, the Grand Canyon is huge. We got to see like the South Rim. Like, it almost don't even look real. It's so spectacular. Like, it looks like a painting. Like, it's just a great canyon, and it's, you know, it's a humbling experience to see it and realize the power of, you know, the power of Earth, the power of nature, and how small we really are compared to the, yeah, in the big scheme of things, how small we are and how powerful water is, how powerful wind and all those things that made that great canyon is, man. It was just a great experience. So, yeah, we got
Thanks.
To do that, man. It was beautiful. I would definitely suggest if you can get, you know, to the Grand Canyon, somehow you can take it from Vegas and go down on the north end, or you can go up from Arizona and check out the south end. But, yeah, it's definitely worth it, and I think a must-see, you know, as far as being one of the great wonders, you know, just natural wonders of the world. So,
okay. What was
yeah.
that weather like?
The weather was good. It was hot. It was like 100, maybe 102, 103 degrees during the day. It's that it's the dry heat, so it's not like here. So
it ain't like this heat.
Yeah, it's not like the human. So 100 here may feel like, you know, 85 or 90 with a lot of humidity.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it wasn't too bad. It was actually good. Like, I could maintain, but
okay.
You know, people don't nobody roll down there with the windows down. Everybody got their windows up in the air, because you know, you in the desert. So, yeah, but yeah, so it was a great trip. But that brings me to the first topic, right? Because Lavelle made a joke when we went to the comedy show, and he was like, he asked everybody, did they see Aretha's funeral? And he was like, man, black people can't even die in peace, because John McCain had to die, and Trump Aretha's funeral. You know what I'm saying? But he just made a little joke about that. But I want to get into Aretha Franklin's funeral. Did y'all get a chance to see that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, the first thing I noticed is Farrakhan did not speak. So, you know, I just feel like that is crazy. Like, when our icons die, and they obviously had a relationship, according to him, since, like, the 70s, 60s, 70s, and this man didn't speak at the funeral. Like, we are letting the white supremacists control our funerals. Like, if people are like,
hold on,
he's anti-Semitic and this and that. Okay, go ahead. Break it down.
Hold on, because I was saying the same thing, and I feel you getting ready to go in. So I'm going to stop before you go too hard. I'm hearing that the minister actually declined to speak, you know, and that was Aretha's request that he be there, you know, because they were close. You know, I don't know if people knew that back in the day when one of the mosques had got destroyed by the police, Aretha came on the scene and, you know, brought Jesse Jackson and got him involved and
right.
helped to, you know, to donate money to the Nation of Islam and all that. So, yeah, she
right.
worked hand in hand with the Nation. But, yeah, he was definitely wanted to be there by her. And, yeah, he had just declined to speak. He just wanted to basically sit back and enjoy the moment. And, you know, his presence was felt. You know, him just being
definitely powerful. Yeah, definitely powerful, because the pitch I seen, it had Farrakhan, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, and Bill Clinton. And that pitch alone, had, you know, is worth 1,000 words. Like, I'm looking at that pitch like, that's a powerful picture, because I would love to see, you know, them backstage conversations, if they had them, you know, how did they agree, what was the conversation
especially,
like. But
especially because,
yeah,
you know how Farrakhan feel about the Clintons. I mean,
that's what I know.
Yeah. So for
yeah.
him to even be humble enough to be willing to accept that, we all know the minister is a humble man anyway. You know, so
yeah.
he was up there for his friend.
Right, but is it confirmed that he didn't want to speak? Because my thing is, this man is a great orator. He's probably the best speaker up there. You see what I'm saying? Hands down, the best speaker up there. Why wouldn't he speak? Like, that's what he does. That's what his strength is in orating and speaking. So I just don't know. Like, that may be true. I don't know. But I'm thinking if he's there and he's up on the stage, he wanted to speak and somebody wasn't with it. Like, whoever it was, where the high came down, I just don't think the media, the TV, you know, the mainstream, it was on BET, Viacom. And then I was reading, like, a lot of publications was saying, oh, why is Farrakhan up there? A lot of these, you know, little white supremacist publications, like, he shouldn't be up there and this and that. If anybody shouldn't be up there, it's Bill Clinton. But, you know, no disrespect. Like, this is Aretha's family, so whoever she wanted up there, I'm sure, you know, they comply to who she wanted up there. But, you know, my thing is, what is Bill Clinton doing up there? And then the one coon passed announced Bill Clinton as the first black president. Come on, give me a break, man. You not hip to what the Clintons have done by now? Like, come on, brother. So, you know, he was up there cooning. He was talking about black lives don't matter to they matter to black people and this and that. Like, let's just stop this right now.
Oh, wow.
He up there was cooning hard. Like, these young children, they hope, like, just basically making it seem like it's just all bad for all black people. And black lives ain't going to matter to nobody till they matter to black people. Black lives matter to black people. Let's just stop playing. People act like, oh, when the police kill us, we be out, but when we kill each other, you know, that's cone talk. You dig what I'm saying? That's what the white supremacists say. That is straight up cone talk, because we know that we care about black lives. Like, you know what I'm saying? But how do you protest to criminals doing criminal activity? There's peace marches people have peace picnics. People do a lot of things to try to prevent violence in our neighborhoods. But we know, or those that are in the know that the white supremacists sabotage us, drugs, money, all these other type things, guns into the community. And they create a situation to where we kill in proximity to where we at. So you dig what I'm saying? So, yeah, he was up there coning. This past Jasper Williams Jr., some guy.
Jasper
Williams Jr. You know, he's like, black people that lost their souls. I'm like,
jumping
what is this man talking about, man? Like, but, man, I just.
I think you guys what Chuck Willery said. Willery, his
Chuck
comment
Willery
about.
On the Love
Yeah.
What do you say?
Like, he was just saying that even Jesus, our Savior, had a simple funeral. I'm sorry, I just can't hold back with all this pop. And he was just saying that.
Right.
He ain't even worth the breath.
Yeah, he said
he ain't worth the breath.
Yeah, no disrespect to the family for me, but I think it was a lot of cooning going on. It was a lot of bug dancing. It was just a spectacle of, you know, the Boule folks, where'd you do your bachelor's type folks crowd, you know, the bougie type, old church type of vibe that I was seeing. You know what I'm saying? Like I say, no disrespect to Aretha Franklin or her family, but I think the funeral kind of reared it off. Michael Eric Dyson spoke. I got to see his speech. He did good. They say Jennifer Hudson performed. The one pastor got in trouble for touching Ariana Grande. I don't know if y'all saw that. What did y'all think about that? They said he touched it inappropriately or something.
Yeah, that's the one who you said was coming with you. You're talking about.
How did he touch inappropriately? Did you see it right?
Yeah, well, I saw it. I saw it when it was going live. I will admit that I didn't take it the way that the internet took it.
Got you. That could be just making it.
Right. How did he touch it? What did he do?
Well, after she got done singing, I think he unconsciously grabbed her too close to her breast, because he grabbed her in a way like, come here, girl. You know, that's how they were saying, like, come here, girl.
Yeah,
that's
how he had his arm around her. Yeah, he had his arm around her, and it was like on the side of her chest. Or
right.
Whatever, like, because she's short, he's taller. He just reached over and grabbed it, like, under her arm.
During the moment of it happening, was doing a live stream anyway on TV, I didn't take it that way. I did see that. The way that he grabbed her was inappropriate if you're in that mind state. I think it was accidental that he was so close to her. But I can be wrong. He could have been planning that all along, because they were talking about how short her dress was and all that. So he could have.
Yeah, he got off to him anyway.
Did she seem uncomfortable?
From what you remember, Roger, did she seem uncomfortable or like kind of taken back? Or was
it
wasn't?
She did seem uncomfortable, but as I was watching it, I thought it was just because it can be kind of like uncomfortable. Somebody grab you all up close like that, squeeze you like
right, you can't leave
in front of everybody. You don't know the man, you know what I'm saying? And and he made a comment about
her name, that's what I thought he was going to be in trouble about. I thought he was going to be in trouble more so about the comment about her name.
Yeah, he thought she was something at Taco Bell menu.
Yeah, that was just a bad joke.
He was reaching.
I thought his inappropriate behavior, although it was inappropriate behavior, I thought it was. It seemed like he was unconscious of it. It didn't seem like he was doing it like you know, with his tongue hanging out. But hey, he could have been.
Yeah, he just wanted to make her feel welcome. Because I think he's homosexual myself. I could be wrong.
Possibly, I thought he was homosexual.
He just wanted to make us feel comfortable.
Throughout the whole thing, he seemed like he was just trying to, you know, make a name for himself. I don't think he wanted that name that he ended up getting. But he definitely tried to be all, you know, one of the shining lights. That's the impression I got of his personality.
Yeah, he said a couple of things that was kind of like, come on, brother, what you doing?
Yeah, he had a couple of them come on, brother moments. Yeah, he was being too extra.
He was being too extra. He's trying to get some extra, chill out. Some nigga trinkets or something, right?
My pet peeves was the singing. Some of that singing, like, who was the white lady that sung earlier? Horrible. My girl Shaka Khan. Hey, I love you, Shaka Khan. But that was a hot mess. Hold on.
Oh man, not Shaka Khan.
Roger said she was drunk. Roger thought she was drunk.
Might have been a little tipsy.
Look, I thought they was trying to, you know, stop her, and you know, stop her from singing too long, and you know, because she was seemed to be drunk to me anyway. Her behavior was a little off, and they got her on, and she started back singing again. I say she just stole the microphone. She just started singing from the back. She wasn't even no longer on stage. She was. I'm like, is that how I said she just stole the mic? And they found that dude. She was on the side. They got the mic from her. She probably did another one.
Now, my mother said she liked the Clark sisters. But to me, the Clark sisters sound like a bunch of pack of cats. They sound like a bunch of cats having sex.
Oh my. I missed all the singing. I missed the singing, so I
got to
feel
me.
Sound like some cats having sex.
I have to give a shout out to my family, Ron Isley. I think
I enjoyed his performance.
Yeah, I think his performance was very heartfelt. You know, I wish he would have sung a different song, but I understand he was emotional about it. Him and Aretha was friends, you know.
But he hit them notes.
And what about he walked over to
Jennifer Hudson?
He put his hands on. Jennifer Hudson, Shirley Caesar.
Yeah,
shout out to Shirley Caesar for getting up there, showing them how it's done. Bra strap fell down, everything. Shirley Caesar wasn't playing. She got up there and did her thing. But yeah, between Jennifer Hudson and Fantasia, I heard some people give it to Jennifer Hudson, some people give it to Fantasia.
Okay.
But Jennifer definitely, she's strong. She showed her strength, boy.
Oh, yeah. She can blow.
Overall, yeah, I think that the funeral was just way too long. Or, you know, was it just like too much for a funeral? It's about just the length and how the funeral was, you know, was illustrated. Like, is it? Do you think it was just like too much for a funeral?
You want to go first,
well,
Brother Keith?
Yeah, I'll make it real quick. It's kind of hard to say. I mean, because she is a legend. She's an icon. It may have went too long, but I'm not really against, you know, long funerals if, you know, it's warranted. And, you know, a lot of people had a lot to say. She affected a lot of people, you know, inspired a lot of musicians. So I understand that, you know, everybody want to sing a little something, a tribute. You know, so I get it. I think if it was, from what I heard, it was 10 hours. Now, 10 hours may be too long. Eight, a work day, and then you can cut it off. Like, but 10 hours, you're doing 2 hours overtime. So it may have been a little too long, but I think overall, sometimes that's warranted for our legends and our, you know, icons like that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I would say the same thing. I'm on this on the side of Brother Kid too. Yes, that was way long, but at the same time, I mean, it was Aretha Franklin.
Right.
You know, yeah, I mean, the lady who was given the title of the Queen of Soul. So,
that's right.
I mean, that's an icon. So an icon had to have an iconic funeral.
That's right.
That's how I look at
that's
it.
Right.
So
yeah.
With that also being said, though, I give people a pass who fell asleep. We probably all seen the memes.
Yeah, you get a pass.
We've seen the memes. Other people who have fell
asleep.
One lady, head back, mouth wide open.
Right,
I give a pass because that is
a
long time. Yeah.
Yes,
I mean, and then, like, shout out to the minister. Just thinking about that, to Minister Farrakhan that was up on that stage the whole time at 85 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he did his thing. But,
see,
this my thing. He didn't even speak at Muhammad Ali funeral, which I think was a disgrace. I don't know what was behind that or nothing. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying as far as appearance and him not speak, that was just, like, crazy to me.
You know,
like,
what?
Like I said, and Bill Clinton spoke at that one. It was other few, Billy Crystal. You know what I'm saying? It's like, where's Farrakhan at our icon's funeral? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know Obama's made it to
Obama's at McCain's funeral.
Yeah, McCain's funeral.
Yeah, he did a speech at McCain's funeral. So, yeah.
I'll say this. Farrakhan probably just didn't want to go. I mean, think about it. He was up in there. Clive Davis in there. Now, you know.
Fact.
Farrakhan
right.
Don't mess with no Clive Davis. So there's a lot of folks up in there, Bill Clinton, a whole lot that just ain't the caliber of person that Farrakhan would speak nicely of. So he's
right, but this
person
is
feeling.
Him and Aretha, right, him and Aretha had a relationship, and I know she wanted him on that stage.
No,
you know what I'm saying? She wanted him on the stage, and if he's on the stage,
she's still for that. You know, and that's her dad worked for him. You know, he's still a rice activist.
Yeah, like Mufasa said the story of you know, when the police was messing with the mosque and she came through. So they've had a long relationship, but you know what I'm saying. And maybe he didn't want to speak. Maybe, and I could be just going off the roof. But I feel I think.
At
somebody
that time.
They trying not to give him any public shine because they know how powerful he is with waking folks up. You know what I'm saying? And they just put out all the negative stuff without, they just put out little blurbs of what he said without showing a full
it is what it is.
I really go in. And people without watching his speeches may go by what the media say. So if they give him a platform to where he can and reach folks, they'll be like, oh, the media been lying to me. He's not anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
He's not anti-white if you really listen to his speeches. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I honestly can't see him passing up that type of an opportunity to be able to reach so many people unless it was some other stuff that drove him to decide, you know what, I won't even speak. It's okay, brother.
Yeah.
It's okay, bro.
I can see that, too. Yep, it's okay, bro. I can see that, too. That's how humble he is. You know what I'm saying? That's how humble he come across. Like, I'm not going to make a scene. Okay, somebody said they didn't want me to speak. That's okay, brother, you know. I'm here to support my sister. It's not about me. You see what I'm saying? That's the type of brother
he is. I can see them giving him some stipulations and some hardcore, you know, do's and don'ts.
That too.
Don't say this. Don't do that.
Yep.
They only talk about you and her. I can see them just giving him so much, so many do's and don'ts that he was like, he knew. I don't want me up here. I can't even stand up here and say my name. They probably said, you can't even say your name.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
they didn't even want him to announce who he was.
Right. And these are people, you know, who the nation
who run
has
the media.
Helped. Yeah, these are people who run the media, right. But I'm saying as far as Farrakhan being for black people and black entertainers, like he, you know, the nation provided security for Michael Jackson. You dig what I'm saying? Of course, Muhammad Ali was in the nation. So that's why I'm like, it's just certain things that our culture and we should be protecting. Like, who cares if they offended by what he says? If they're offended by the truth, then that's on them. You know what I'm saying? We should have a culture strong enough where we letting the minister speak, especially when he had relationship with these icons that come from our culture. You dig what I'm saying? We shouldn't be worried about, oh, is he going to piss the white people off by what? No, we shouldn't even be worried about that. If they get offended, then that's on them. You dig what I'm saying? That shouldn't be our concern. But if you're just joining this family, this Collective Minds Radio, it's your host, Brother Kev, Rigel Starr, my brother Mufasa Rod. We have an open discussion. We're talking about what's been going on this week. Please give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. Again, that's 929-477-1697. And we are Collective Minds. Now, I want to get y'all opinion on this. LeBron had the show this week, his little barbershop talk show, where he was going in and said he had, when he was had went to high school, he had to learn how to trust white people. Because he was like, when he first got there, you know, he had attitude, like, you know, they don't mess with me, I don't mess with them, I'm just coming here to play ball, whoop-de-whoop. And he was like, over time, you know, he had to learn how to trust white people. So I wanted to know, what do y'all think about that? Did y'all get to see the segment? First off, did y'all get to see that little segment?
I didn't know anything about it.
Oh, okay. I thought I
Yeah,
heard
I saw it.
It's the article.
I remember you mentioning it to us, but I didn't see it.
Okay.
I saw it, and I can relate to that and understand that because, you know, growing up, I was surrounded by, you know, nothing but black people. And, I mean, I didn't really know how to deal with white folks until I was in my late 20s, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I got my, you know, where I was working at, my first job was working around nothing but white people. Before that, I hadn't been in very much contact, but maybe, you know, a person here or a person there. So, yeah,
right.
I could relate to that, you know.
Right, yeah. Yeah,
not trust.
I can definitely feel that. Yeah, I can definitely feel that. But like from my experience, I've been going to school with white kids, where it's been the majority since about first, second grade, off and on. I went to a few city schools here and there, but for the most part, especially since fourth grade school, middle school, and high school, it's been mostly white. So my perspective was a little bit different as far as – because I still, even though I was going to school with them and interacting with them, it still was that type of, you know, silent wall, especially as we got bigger. You know what I'm saying? That racial divide where it's like, okay, you white, I'm black. It's stuff that come with you being white, stuff that come with me being black, and we trying to function. You know what I'm saying? We trying to function on a day-to-day in school, but we all know what it is in the back of our head. Like, I'm going to the city. You dig what I'm saying? You staying out here in the burbs and doing whatever y'all do out here. And it was always, I felt like, a disconnect as far as when it comes to white and black. Because even at school, you know, the cafeteria was pretty much segregated. You know what I'm saying? The black kids hung with the black kids, white kids hung with the white kids. You had a few spots in here and there. You dig what I'm saying? There's always an exception. But for the most part, the school was segregated. You dig what I'm saying? So it was always that little divide, that racial divide that was, you know, kind of lingering in the air. So I definitely feel what LeBron was saying. But my thing is, logically, I think you should judge individuals how they come, and you can work with folks. But I think logically, as black people, I think we should be suspicious of white people. And that's just based on history. That's based on stuff going on now. I think we should have a type of guard up and be suspicious that this white person could possibly be practicing racism when they're not around me. You dig what I'm saying? So that's just my thing. But I thought it was kind of interesting how they put that story out with LeBron, I guess, to kind of, you know, to say, hey, it's cool to trust white people and all that. You know what I'm saying? But like I say, my position is I think we should be cautious and suspicious, just like I say, just logically based. You know, you treat individuals how they come, and we respect, but we understand that this is a team sport when it comes to race in America. You dig what I'm saying? And you don't get to pick your team pick you. You dig what I'm saying?
And it is what it is.
That's how you got to move out here. Yo,
yeah, totally
ahead,
understand
let's
that. Let's go to the phone line and see if anybody will have a question or a comment. Let's go caller 314-616. Caller, you have a question or a comment?
Peace. Can you hear me?
Peace, peace.
Hey,
yeah,
caller.
Peace. What's going on, caller?
Hey, how's it going? I guess I missed the initial opening. I guess you guys are talking about – I missed it.
We were talking about no problem. We were talking about first because this is an open discussion, so we're talking about anything that happened this past week. We were talking about Aretha Franklin's funeral, and my position was there was a lot of cooning going on at her funeral with the one speaker, and they did not let Farrakhan speak. I thought that was very symbolic of him not speaking, whether he wanted to or not. I just think that was very symbolic considering they had a relationship. And the powers that be didn't want him to speak, in my opinion, from what I see.
I'm gonna say something real quick on that, and I'm gonna go into a discussion that I want to talk about. I've been kind of off social media lately and stuff, so you know I don't know a lot of what's going on. I've been kind of hearing stuff, but I did see a picture of I guess him, Bill Clinton, Al Sharpton, and that to me even seems suspicious. You know, I have a lot of respect for the minister, the old minister anyway, because the new minister, I really don't know what's going on. I'm going to have a sit-down discussion to truly understand what direction the nation is moving in. And my position on the nation always has been that this is something that's for black people. You know, why are they, as the FOI, not attacking white supremacy? I know there's been a lot of, you know, talks in the past about, you know, them having something to do with, you know, certain black leaders and their deaths and stuff like that, but that's not written on there. The direction I kind of wanted to go into was what is the black man and woman, what is our position in entertainment? I saw something recently, I guess, where Jamil Hill had recently, I guess there was an agreement to part ways with ESPN. And, I guess they gave her $6 million, you know, and I was telling somebody, I know it's going to hurt black folks still when I say this, but the same time you boycotting the NFL, you'd be boycotting ESPN because this really who they are. I mean, they're showing you, and I think that because we are so indulged in white supremacy that we accept the money as a contract for the truth. You know, and I saw something else where they were saying, you know, Serena Williams was told by the French Open, I think that was on the radio or something like that, that she can no longer
wear
the cat suit.
The cat suit,
it's almost like, you know, there's a jealousy associated with black intelligence, black performance. They want to control how you speak, how you look, how you, you know, everything. And it's like we just continue to accept this. And if you notice, the sole reason why stations like ESPN – they put on there because they know that two reasons. One, most black men don't have jobs and they sit at home and just consume information about sports all day. And we're so colorblind and so ignorant that anytime we see a black face in a high place, it automatically draws us to that platform. And if you notice, usually there are two type of black people that they have on there. They're going to always have a coon, and then they'll have
Fact.
A person that will be a little controversial but not get too out of hand. And I think that,
right.
that I mean,
Sharp.
The things that Jamil Hill
like
was
Shannon.
Doing, the things that Jamil Hill was doing wasn't even on the platform. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but
exactly.
it's okay for
exactly.
for this president to talk about sports, but her, who's in sports, can talk about politics. I'm saying it's
yeah,
like,
exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
give
yeah.
me a break. Help me understand
yeah,
how,
I mean,
how it works.
Yeah, yeah, that's the deal, man. See, with black men and women in entertainment, we don't control nothing. You see what I'm saying? We're just the product. We're just the face and the product, and we don't own or control. Because Jamel Hill, she has a following. She can go do her own thing, create
right.
her own site, and then, boom, she doing her thing. But, you know, you got the white people behind it controlling it, and they cut bigger checks, so to speak. You see what I'm saying?
I'm going to go a little further with that. Like, I didn't know that, you know, some of these other platforms that I just got into are white owned, like the Great Griot. You know,
yeah,
they have
Griot,
certain platforms.
The Root.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow. You know, so this is military and political science 101. You know,
fact.
They set the platforms up. They put their props up of intelligent black people that will captivate
mm-hmm.
the mind, but they're the one
yeah.
in the end still pulling the strings.
Yeah,
I
they
like,
control.
Wow.
See, that's it. That's warfare at its finest. Control both sides of the argument.
Yep.
You see,
yep.
They control both sides of the argument. Like you say, the Root, the Griot, all these other little publications that are supposed to be black owned and black conscious, woke, quote unquote, they are controlled by the white supremacists. That's why you see these other agendas popping up, like the LGBT agenda, the transgender, feminism agenda. All these other agendas get diluted, or the black agenda get diluted when you throw all these other agendas in there.
Now,
what
I just liked
saying?
About the very few platforms that we own and control, in the end, it ends up being nonsense in a sense. And case in point, when I was making my transition coming out of the church and coming into consciousness, I ran
mm-hmm.
across, you know, House of Consciousness, Sarnetta.
Sarnetta,
and
right.
There was a lot of information. I liked a lot of the people that came on the platform to discuss information. But
mm-hmm.
the more I looked into it, and I'm looking at, okay, this person's been doing this for 30 years, you know.
Right.
Sarnetta has no desire to come up with a black solution. His platform is based off of keeping us separate. With all the information, with all the intelligence, with all the people that he has, you would think that we would come together for a solution to solve our problems. But he knows, because he's playing chess 100%. He knows that the day that he comes up with a solution to solve our problems, he would have to pack his things up and move off 125th Street.
Right. Well. Now, in Sarnetta defense, I will say this: he's provided solutions.
That.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's provided solutions on his channel. Like we say on here all the time, the solutions for black people are already laid out. We know what we got to do. We know what they are. It's just that we're not doing it in mass, or it's not enough of us that are going to those solutions. We're getting there. Don't get it twisted.
Yep.
We are getting there. But he's provided solutions on his platform. You know, make no mistake. And I get what you're saying, but
mm-hmm.
he's basically monetizing what he got to do. He's making money the way he knows how.
Right.
Content and lectures and different things like that.
Right.
So, you know.
I think that's the biggest difference between now and then. Now it's about, I'm going to get you this information, but I want to make a buck off of it. When we had Malcolm and Martin and all them coming up, it was about
strictly
about liberating our people. I mean, even when you go to these functions over the weekend, when we had these, you know, Martin Luther King celebrations or honoring him, we're honoring the legacy, but it seems like there's more focus on selling these T-shirts and get these books and, you know, so.
Let me say this right quick, brother. Now, and I feel where you're coming from with that, but at the same time, we can't knock our brothers for – you know, putting some money in their pocket and making a living. I mean, and doing for self.
I'm not.
I would rather see him do that than have to, you know, go work for the man. Let him do that.
Right.
And then when we on his channel, just like Brother Kev said, you know, when we building with him and we putting the solutions out there, you know, it's not for Sarnetta. That's not his role. It's not for Sarnetta to say, this is what we need to do. You know, he doing what, well, he's staying in his lane. His lane is broadcasting. That, I mean, that's his lane. But other people have their lane, like we talk about what leaders like Malcolm X or Elijah or Marcus Garvey or, you know, the plans are out there. We just need to start moving as a whole. And even with his channel, he even, you know, he talks about those things. I like how he shed light on the different people belief systems, because that way when you go to Sarnetta TV, you can look and see what's best for you. You know, find your lane.
Right.
You might say, I like what these Hebrew Israelite guys are talking about. So let me go dig into that. Let me jump in that lane. Oh, I like these Nation Islams. Or I like these Kemetic people.
Yeah.
So I like that he's going to do a wide variety, you know what I'm saying, to put it out there for us to study.
Yeah, because we got to look at it like this, because even if we were to separate and once we come to our own community, it's still going to be things that we have to hash out amongst each other. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Even though we should all be, of course, black first and moving towards black empowerment, but there's still going to be things we have to iron out. Like, we got to get rid of the dusty nigger attitude. We got to get rid of the hood rats. We got to figure out which religion fits us best. Or, you know what I'm saying? This type of things that we're going to have to iron out ourselves without the white supremacist influence. You know what I'm saying? So the debates are good in a sense, because we're going to have to hash out ideologies and see, you know, which way we lean in as a group, even though we know it's black first and, you know, black empowerment. So
you kind of get what I'm saying? Like how can that platform that he has be used to do more uniting than debating? Because I think that the information is out there. And at this point, me arguing one belief over another almost becomes exhausting. Like, how can we say, okay, we have the top scientists in the Kemetic community, and we have the top person that's skilled. You know what I'm saying? Like coming up with a community that's strictly for black people, like even within the Asian culture, they have different beliefs and ideologies. But at the end of the day, when they see other people that look like them, they're immediately on code with that. They understand that.
Yeah, I did.
How
right.
do we
well,
get
now, bro, if you follow him a lot, you know, he just did the Sarnetta TV Awards. And the award show was based on unifying. He gave awards to all the different cultures, whatever lane you is. If you was a scholar, you know, it didn't matter if you was Kemetic, Hebrew, this, that, or third. He gave out awards to all the, and a lot of the underground people that don't get no credit. I ain't talking about the bougie folks. He gave awards to a lot of the underground people. So that's unifying itself, to have all those people under one roof. After the event, brothers were shaking hands and talking and discussing, and there was no hate involved. And 2 years ago, he even did the Unity Conference. Same thing when we invited all these different doctrines and you know, people, different belief systems together to just build. So he do that.
Yeah.
Even though he has, even though he got it on the platform where he say, well, look, we're going to have these debates and we're going to hash things out, but he also do have events that for everybody to come to and unify. Because I never know that, like Brother Kev said, we got differences of means amongst us, but what unifies us still is our blackness.
Right.
Sarnetta is his base is RBG.
Yeah.
You know, so for him, so I can relate to Sarnetta. So for him, even though we arguing and we hashing stuff out, but at the base of it is RBG blackness. So he like, shoot, we can battle it out today, but tomorrow we're going to come back together because we family at the end of the day.
Right.
He say that all the time.
That, and that's what it's about. Like the brother Mufasa said, he just got the platform. He just doing his job. He just providing the content and the information and let the people and the chips fall where they may. You know what I'm saying? He's basically just doing it. But I get what you're saying as far as, but he's provided solutions. He's had people on there talking about white supremacy, because that'd be my thing. I don't think black people study the system we live in enough, because we can debate religion after we figure out how we enter position and how do we get out.
You
dig what I'm saying?
There you go.
All that stuff can come later, but we have to study them and study the system that we're under. That way we can figure out how to get up out of this shit. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know what? Now, I want to ask the brother on the line. I got to ask him a question. on this, and it's related to kind of where we going, what we talking about. How did you feel, brother, about the woman who was, you know, shopping at the Chinese place and with her kids, and the Chinese man punched her in her mouth because accusing her kids of shoplifting, punched her in her mouth and gave her stitches in her mouth. Part two to that question is, some brothers went out there and protested the store.
Man.
And as they sitting there protesting, there was a line of sisters standing in front of the store that didn't want to go by the protest rules because they made the store, they had a sale 50% off. So while the brothers are standing there protesting, saying, hey,
man,
don't go in here because this Chinese man has socked off woman in the, you socked your sister in the mouth. Don't go in there. The sister still standing there, standing in line. So,
and
I thought, well, how you feel about all that?
Let me ask you, I think that we need to stop protesting, and we need to just wake up to the reality that these people do not like you. As I've said before, whether they're white, Asian, whatever, the relationship between them and us is strictly business-based. It's the same kind of relationship that you have with your son. If your son is 2 years old, you're going to give him certain things. Obviously, you're not going to give him keys to your car until he's 16, you know.
Right.
So that's pretty much how they treat us. So we need to stop protesting. One, we need to come to the realization that they don't like us. We need to build and trust our own. Two, I don't think we should be getting the law involved in anything that we do. I mean, like, the fact that whether it was the assault at the Asian place or where this lady was kicked up here at the gas station, these hood thugs or these respected drug dealers, whatever, they need to send their troops to handle that situation. And I'll leave it at that when it comes to that. And then, you know, back to what I was saying, you know, with the money thing, we have become the white man's bitch because we allow money to rule over how we think about ourselves. Mm-hmm. So the fact that they sat there and put a 50%, I didn't know anything about that. So you just told me. So the fact they put a 50% on sale, that was the trick to get you back into, you know, and I mean, it's just like any other thing, you know. The whole trick into integration was to get your black dollar, and they've been doing the same thing ever since. You know, and even to this day, you talk to the average black person, what selfish is the people? If I ask a person what their 5 or 10 year plan is, you know, it's probably to get out of debt, this, that, and the other. And for me and my kids, or me and my husband, me and my wife, it's always me and mine. It's rare that you hear a black person say, you know what, I want to do this thing so that this thing will be done for black people, period.
Right.
It's almost like the average black person does not have a plan, so I want to do something that's strictly for black people. But, you know, to answer your question, you know, for them to run that 50% off sale, you know, that was a psychological trick. And I really think that we need to appreciate and love ourselves so that the things that they're offering us don't matter anymore. What is it going to take for that to
happen? Right. Yeah, we have to get to that point eventually because that's the only thing they hold over our head.
The day we do that,
that's why we got cones.
It's the day that they come up out of our communities because I think I might have mentioned it on this show before, but, you know, all the consumption, all the money that we're dumping into their stores, their gas stations, their hotels, you know, we out here flying and floating to Jamaica, the whole nine. At the end of the day, these people don't even live in your community. Take all that money that they make and they go out to the suburbs where they live in.
Right. This is fact. Okay, if you just joined us, family, it's Collective Minds Radio. This is Open Discussion. Please give us a call, 929-477-1697. Go ahead, Roger.
And I want to comment on what he said as far as a good desire that he would like to have or like to see come to pass where he hearing a black person saying, well, I want to do this for my black people. Now, because that's a great goal. But my concern with that is that I don't think, unfortunately, that all black people want the same thing. I don't think all black people want. So it's going to be a challenge to try to give somebody something that they don't even want. So how do we fix that? Because they don't want it.
Most black people don't even want to be black.
Right.
A lot of them. And I've met some.
Yeah, this is true. This is true.
And I'm going to say this, and I'm at the roll, but talked to a couple people about this before. Okay, I don't know if this number is accurate, but they say that there's, you know, over 40 million black people here in America.
Yeah, yeah, quote unquote.
I use North Korea as a measuring rod. I think they got a population of about 25 million people there. And all of them are up under the supreme leader of Kim Jong-un, however you say his name. Imagine if just a fourth of black people were serious about black unification and liberation here in America. That would put you at 10 million black people that are on one accord about that. So I think that instead of saying that we'll never, I think we need to give it a test run. What is it going to take for it to happen? A race war? I don't know. But I think that we discredit ourselves too much. Our minds are so strong. I even look at the fact that, you know, when you have an inmate that they capture, like a kingpin or whatever, the first thing they have to do is put you in isolation where you're 23-1, secluded, because they know the strength of your mind, but you don't.
Right, right, exactly, exactly. And I would just add on to that, brother, the only reason we're losing this war now is deception. Because we don't understand that war is being waged on us. But if they was to put out an announcement, public service announcement that said, okay, we waging war on black people, our minds are automatically tightened up and we'll start, you know, working towards defending ourselves. But them is some great points. And then with my brother Mufasa, you brought up that story because I watched the video of the sisters in line for the 50% off weave. And it was one light-skinned hood rat just going off on the protesters. It was like some older men. Like, it wasn't a real big protest. I just seen
what
like
you doing here?
Out, listen, yeah, she's like, what you doing? She just
what y'all doing? Y'all ain't doing nothing.
I'm like,
y'all ain't doing nothing.
But this is the type of mentality that needs to be exposed because everybody in that line is washed up. You dig what I'm saying? Everybody in that line is detrimental to black society as a whole. And we can point them out like, no, if y'all don't get
her was all matted up, boy. She was ready to get that stuff about her. Had been yanking on it the night before and got it all. Her tracks was loose. Her tracks was loose, boy. She was mad.
Yeah, she couldn't, man. She was heated. I'm like, why is she so angry?
Because her tracks
like,
was loose.
Like, man, but you finna get a 50% off weed. Relax.
I didn't understand what was the uproar about either.
So yeah, that was very interesting there. But like
as a matter of fact, is the caller still on?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. I know you had to go, but I wanted to tell you this because I remember once before you called in and gave us like a spot to go eat at. I could have sworn that was you, but if you get a chance, go up on Natural Bridge and Clara. It's a new spot up there called Aries. It's an ice cream parlor, and the brother cook sandwiches as well. I went up there today. Beautiful establishment, beautiful environment. You love it. Take your kid. Yep, on Natural Bridge and Clara. Yep, you can't miss it. You can't miss it.
What's the name of it?
It's called Aries. Called Aries. Aries.
Okay.
Named after his daughter. His daughter was working at register. You know. Yeah. Beautiful black owned business. You know what I'm saying? So definitely check it out.
You know what? Let me say this real quick. Even as it relates to that, because we have to become military and political science people too. And I think that when we announce something is black owned, that automatically puts something in the minds of most black people that there may be an establishment that may not be, you know what I'm saying? And it's sad that it's like that. But I'm gonna give you an example of what I'm saying when I say that. David Banner is a person who I've never really followed his music, but once he became an activist, I became really involved in the things he was teaching. And he had made mention one time that his aunt worked in a restaurant a long time for these white people, right? And she was, you know, working in the kitchen. She was putting her money away. And then, you know, I think the people either were at a point where they kind of wanted to retire or do something different. But long story short, she ended up buying the restaurant from those white people, right? And she stayed in the kitchen after she bought the restaurant. She stayed in the kitchen for 3 years since she came out. So she knew that it was safer for her to just maintain her business on the low. Because a lot of times, for whatever reason, especially depending on what city you're in. Now, if you're in a city like Alabama, Atlanta, you know, where the cultural collective black people may be more of an abundance, it's different. But,
you're in St.
Louis.
St. Louis in that too.
Right. Well, I don't know. You've been eating 3 years, so you can't say the food bad. But I think that it's put in our minds, once you hear something black owned, it's a negative thing associated behind it. And I think that, you know, if we had to hire other people to run the props, kind of like they do, you know, when a white person wants to buy a sports team, they'll put LeBron's face on it or Magic Johnson's face on it, you know, because we know that they know that in our minds, seeing a black face in a high place means everything in the world to us, because they think that's doing something for black people, which a lot of times is not. But that's a whole other discussion. But even when it comes to those kind of restaurants, and I'm going to definitely check it out because I like ice cream. My daughter likes ice cream. So, and that's not too far from where we're at. But I think that we gotta play some political tricks when it comes to that. You know, whatever we have to do to make it succeed.
He got a beautiful place. Beautiful place. Trust me, you're going to love it.
It's a tax place now. On such such, you know, I think you got to check them out. And just leave it at that.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, with some black folks, for real. But, yeah, even with that, we got to change our attitudes towards each other. You know what I'm saying? So
definitely,
that's going to come with,
definitely,
you know, that's going to come with learning and sharing information. Because, like you say, and a lot of the stuff, like a lot of our self-hate and self-denial and not wanting to work with each other, a lot of that stuff is subconscious, too. And we're not really aware that we're, you know, extra hard on these black businesses or look down on certain black businesses. You know, a lot of this stuff is subconscious, so that's going to come with us sharing information and changing that attitude towards each other. Because if it's a black-owned spot, I feel like we should be, you know, going to it to patronize. That, you know what I'm saying?
On
just be on code. Basically, I mean, it's just real simple. Yeah, be on code. You got to, you know, just be on code.
Oh, you know what? Real, because a lady, as we was coming out, a girl was coming in, and then I recognized her, and she was like, you know, she was like, I was just getting ready to stop at the Wendy's down on Natural Bridge and Union. But she said, she was like, oh, I had heard about this place, and I happened to look, and I saw it, and I was like, oh, that's that black-owned spot. So I came back around, and I was like, forget Wendy's. I came here to support. So instead of her being lazy and going down to the drive-thru, she said, no, I'm going to support my people. Parked in, walked on in, and came on to support her family. And that's how we got to be. Support our people.
That's,
you know,
right.
It's the same. Like, you know, we said this before, it's the same. Our money don't stay in our community, but what, an average of 6 hours? The black
six
dollar
hours.
Fare, ain't that what they say, 6 hours? That's the same.
Something like that,
you know
yeah.
What I'm saying?
Then Black Wall Street, they say it was bouncing 30 times before it left the community. It hit a black people hand 30 times before it left. Like, it'd be in our community for months before it went out. And that's how you build. You dig what I'm saying? That's exactly how you build. So,
yeah
man.
But if I had this, the brother made a, he made what I had when I went. I had a chicken, and it was all deli meat. Wasn't no, you know, none of that packaged stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Chicken breast sandwich. I think it was a rotisserie chicken sandwich. Oh my god! Yeah, it was all the same. Brother grilled the bread. The bread was soft and buttery, and you know the meat was fresh. Fresh tomato, fresh lettuce he put on there. You know what I'm saying? It was putting me a pickle on the side. Man, the homemade cakes up in there. His mama made cake. Yeah, homemade cake up in there too. Hey, if they was open now, I'd go back. They closed at 4 o'clock today on Sunday. But Aries, I hope I'm pronounced. I could be pronouncing it wrong, but Natural Bridge and Clary, you can't miss it.
Natural
Red Honest,
okay.
Red Honest, hey, you can't miss it.
Indeed. Now I want to read this tweet from Donald J. Trump 45, because Trump really wants to go out his way to make it seem like he's not racist, that he doesn't, you know, he's helping out black people. So I just say that for black people to be cautious of when someone does that, that they try to go extra with it. So, but yeah, here's this tweet that he put out today. And this was in regards to Tiger Woods. They asked him about the presidency and all that, and he kind of, Tiger Woods kind of sidestepped the question, and I guess Trump was satisfied with the question. So Trump tweeted, Tiger Woods showed great class in the way he answered the question about the office of the presidency and me. Now, they say the so-called left is angry at him. So sad, but the center and right loves Tiger. He basically saying the center, the right, you know, the alt-right or the right-wing Republicans. He's saying they love Tiger, Kanye, George Foreman, Jim Brown, and so many other greats, and even more. Then he goes on to say, the fact is that African-American unemployment is now the lowest in the history of our country, same with Asian, Hispanic, and almost every other group. The Democrats have been all talk and no action. My administration has already produced like no other, and everyone sees it. From Mr. Trump.
All right.
So basically, he's trying to – he's been touting his horn about this unemployment thing, but he never goes into detail. Now, because I just did a little quick research, it is true that black unemployment is at an all-time low. But it is also true is it is still two times that of whites. It's almost three times that of Asians. Also, the unemployment rate for everyone is down at this point. And as far as blacks go, it has been declining since about 2004, 2005. The black unemployment rate has been steadily declining. So, and that's well before Trump. So I don't know how he's taking credit for that. But I just want to get y'all opinion. Your boy Trump say, hey, he loves Tiger. He loves Kanye West, George Foreman, and Jim Brown. And he's doing great things for black people. What y'all think?
Well, you know what he's saying. You know, he likes them types.
Ah, exactly.
You know, they have things in common too. You know.
Yeah, exactly.
He likes them,
and
types.
Yeah, I hate that Jim Brown's on that list because Jim Brown has always been—he's a solid, elder, solid person. He's always done great things in the community. But I'm not sure where Jim Brown is coming from when he's supporting Trump. I really don't understand. I'm gonna just be honest. I'm a little confused. Now, George Foreman
has
been
calling
a little bit.
Out. But
Tiger,
you know what, also, it's understandable that he's going to like the people that like him.
Of course.
You know?
Of course.
They all like him.
Right.
He's not going to say that about someone that clearly does not like him. He's not going to put them on
right.
that list, you know?
Right, he strikes me as a friend that can't take criticism. You know, if you say something about a friend or something, you think that you add constructive criticism, they get in their feelings and they mad at you. Like, he strikes me as one of them type people to where you'd be like, nah, Trump, maybe you shouldn't have did it like that. He just might blow up on you and, what are you talking about? You know what I'm saying? He strikes me as one of them type people.
He take his ball and run in the house.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody be playing kickball. He'll get mad and take his ball and run.
There you go.
Everybody playing kickball. I'm gonna go on the house. Get my ball.
Yeah. So, yeah, your boy say the unemployment down for black folks. They've been putting in work.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So.
His future's looking bright.
Well, it's. Yeah, it's going to be bright with or without your boy Trump. But when his folks got indicted last week, that story kind of calmed down because I've been telling folks Trump is not going anywhere. All this stuff is for show. They locking up his lawyer. They locking up the campaign aide that was close to him. Like, these things are for show. Trump will be back in office for 20. Now, I could see them probably maybe starting the impeachment at the last 2 years of his second term. You dig what I'm saying? Like, the last 2 years of his second term, they're going to start impeaching, and by then it's going to be too late. So Trump is going to wiggle out.
Bill Clinton was impeached.
Yeah, after
Bill Clinton was
though,
impeached,
right?
Am I right? Was he impeached?
Yeah.
And, I mean, he still stayed in office. I guess it was just a different form of impeachment.
Yeah. It was after the fact. It was really too late. So I think they just doing a little dog and pony show for the people. Keep the Trump haters
so
alive.
In other words, they locked up the getaway driver.
Yeah, they just locked him up. Yeah, you're right. Just for show. You dig? It was just for show. And people want to, point the finger at Trump like he's, but like Trump got to have people working for him. Like, that's what I be saying. Like, it's an entire system. So it's not just Trump. Like, Trump is not even that relevant in the system, the main system, even though he has emboldened these racist and white supremacists to where they feel like they ain't got to bite their tongue. They can, you know, call the police and say what they want to say to black folks and get them in check and get them in line. He's giving them more power to do that. But at the end of the day, this is how America was before. Like, they was just a little better at hiding their feelings. Now with Trump in office, they feel like they ain't got to hide. You dig? And that brings me to another video I seen that I sent y'all. And this is real quick. We got about 20 minutes left, 19 minutes left in the show. Give us a call, Collective Minds Radio. The number is 929-477-1697. But did y'all see that video where the two 11-year-olds got stopped in Grand Rapids, Michigan? They was walking. Somebody called the police and said they saw a kid with a gun. Now, mind y'all, when these people calling the police like they did with Tamir Rice, the guy down in Baton Rouge, when they calling the police, they are looking for people to be shot. You dig what I'm saying? They're not playing. Like, these are assassination attempts. These are hits that they calling on us and they calling on our kids these days. But it was two 11-year-olds and a 17-year-old. They were stopped at the end of the video, the little boy crying. He like, no, we just came from a football game. We were just walking to Little Caesar. We didn't do nothing. And the cop was so... Oh, the cop was just, when y'all watch the video, the cop was so condescending. It was really pissing me off. Excuse my friends. But he was like, we just need you to, you know, we're just doing this for our safety and your safety, bud, all right? But they were treating them like straight up criminals. Like the guy, they had on gym shorts, little kids. They making them bag up one by one. Just got the guns fired on them, you know, got the guns pointed at them. Bag up. Get down on your knees. Keep your hands up. You know what I'm saying? Just really humiliating these guys and putting them through a traumatic event because they know what could happen. They know they could have been shot. These kids just walking to the store, walking to Little Caesars from a park where they was playing football or whatever. And these cops hopped out on them, guns drawn, freeze. You dig what I'm saying? So, you know, these people calling the police, they getting bold these days. That's why it's important that black folks get on code. And I think it's happening organically because we're seeing what's going on. So if you're not wise enough to see what's going on and you're not on code, then that's going to be your fault. Like I always say, by 2020, everybody will have clear vision. And those that don't, you know, just go meet the consequences. Like, if you don't understand what's going on by 2020, then you're just a done deal. So you still got time. You got like a year and a half to try to get it together, but it's not a game out here. And we have to be
out. Yeah, I
didn't
see that. I didn't have an opportunity to watch that yet. I'm going to have to check that out. But,
yeah,
you know,
check it out.
I mean, it's just some evil bastards out here, whether they're in a uniform or without. And those was just two evil bastards with uniforms on doing what they do. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's ridiculous. It really is. It's really shameful. They should have been reprimanded for that. You know what I'm
saying?
Yeah,
it was terrible, man. I mean, the little dude was just bawling. Like, he's like, no, sir, we weren't doing nothing. He was like, what did we do? You know?
It's a way to deal with kids.
Yeah, it's a way to deal with kids. Like, come on.
You see what they got on. And everybody.
Yeah, he like, you don't got a gun, do you? His gym short, you can look at it. You don't got a gun. None of your friends had a gun. They like, no, we don't like, we don't carry guns. Like, what is it? You know, we just kids doing what we do.
Now, let me
ask
you this, Brother Kev.
Yes,
let's say you was a police officer and you got that call, right? Tell me, what's the steps? You as a police officer, how would you have handled it?
I would observe the situation, and by me being around criminal activity and stuff that goes on, you know, in the hood, and just little regular stuff where, you know, someone may be being sneaky or shiesty, I can pick up on vibes and energy. You dig what I'm saying? If someone's walking around, I can kind of, you know, you just kind of pick up on vibes and energy with folks.
Mm-hmm.
And with them, you know, I would have hopped out, pulled up with my lights, you know. Basically, if I'm watching them from a distance, you observing their demeanor, what they're doing, how they're moving, you checking their waist. You know, you just being observant.
Mm-hmm.
And you get out.
How many stop bullets?
It was more than one.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
I'm like, hey, guys, you know, come here for a second. Let me talk to you. Come here. And try to get their demeanor, because if they up to something, they go run. You know, I could even maybe yell that from my door to where I'm not putting myself in harm if I believe they got a gun. You dig what I'm saying? If they on the sidewalk, you can open the door, yell like, hey, you guys, come here for a second. Come over here. Let me talk to you. And you can kind of peep, again, the demeanor, the energy, and what's going on with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then you bring them over there and ask them questions and see what's going on. You pat them down for your safety if need be and all that. So it's a way to handle it. Like, you know,
it's a way to handle it.
It's a way to handle it.
He could have made them feel more personal, like you said. Like, say, you know, what's up, kids? Talk to them.
Yeah.
You know, hey,
yeah.
You know,
like,
after you talk to them for a few minutes, say.
Right.
Yeah, just tell them flat out.
And
that's
a parent.
And we're trying to watch the community.
Yeah.
As a mother, what I would also have liked to see happen, if you a concerned police officer, what's wrong with saying, hey, let's take a ride to your house, buddy, you know, take him home and talk to him and his mother and his father at the same time, you know, explain to them what's going on. Because for one, they were too young. They were 11. And how old was the other? They were friends.
He was 17. He was my 11 and 17.
Okay.
Now
so
I think I still would have patted him down though before I put him in my car.
Oh yeah.
Well,
yeah, but
but you might not even have to. But I'm saying, and I said that let's take him right home. But they was walking home, so to me they were probably close. You could have just. Like Brother Kevin was saying, just kind of trailed them, you know, and just observe their demeanor, their actions, and, you know, there's so many different ways.
I mean,
that
yeah,
you could have handled
video,
that.
It was like a lot of different ways that can happen. When you see the video and the way the officer, like, hopped out and just pointing the gun at him, telling him to bag up, everybody put your hand, like, it was just very, very, like rogue, like it was like a
yeah,
like
it was no need
type.
To
like
do
dealing
that.
With, yeah, like you dealing with, you know what I'm saying? Like I done seen them be more gentle with people with guns, like you, like you know what I'm saying, or with a weapon. Like it's been like, come on,
I would have called the kids over and I'd explain. I would just tell them, you know, I got a call. Hey, y'all, you know, I got a call. There was some kids out here, possibly with a gun. So look, that's for my safety, y'all safety. You know what I'm saying? Do you got any guns on you? But then, hey, you know, I do need to pat y'all down just to make sure I ain't going to hurt you. You know what I'm saying? I don't mean no harm, but I do have to do my job, y'all. So if y'all work with me, just let me pat y'all down to make sure y'all ain't got nothing on you. You know what I'm saying? Then we good. I'm going to let y'all go about y'all way. And then he could have been as easy, just like that.
Talk to him
while he pat
like
him down.
They made a big spectacle out of it. cars everywhere, lights. The cats, they're in the middle of the intersection with their hands up. Yeah, trying to scare them, hands up. You know what I'm saying? And these kids, I'm sure they done seen videos and stuff. Like, they know what could happen. You know what I'm saying? What if the young kids would have just took off running? Then they would have shot them or something. You know, something crazy. Like, it's just crazy, man. That just really showed me a lot, which, of course, this stuff been going on. But it's just like, man, this is just pathetic. These cops are straight cowards. Like, they've been way more gentle with white people, with guns.
They need to get parents involved. I think parents also need to be involved, you know.
According to the article,
I'm sure she was.
Yeah, she's like, they was racially profiled. Like, this is not a game. Y'all could have killed one of my babies. They could have been nervous and reached for their phone trying to call me, and y'all would have shot them. You dig what I'm saying? Like, yeah, they're like, it's not a game, especially with some kids like that. You 10, 11, you know what I'm saying? You may be nervous. Like, let me call my mama. And they've been a shot you. You know what I'm saying? That's why it's important. We got to get our kids on code as far as dealing with these kids. And like Nelly Fuller even say, like, our kids shouldn't even be walking out alone. Even though it was daytime, it looked like it might have been like evening, you know, evening time,
yeah,
like right
like
before
now.
It hit dark.
Yeah,
yeah, kind of like now.
Like around this time.
So, but we got to be careful with letting our kids walk out in certain communities where, you know, where they can be harmed. Like, if we can't take them or something, maybe we need to walk with them. You dig what I'm saying? Maybe we just need to walk with them. And because we got to be on code. Like, we got to really, you know, protect our kids from situations like that where they can be harmed and, quote, unquote, mistaken identity, and they can be shot. You know what I'm saying? So, but, yeah, that was a very disturbing video. And that happened in Grand Rapids. Yeah, but, yeah, we're coming down to the last 8 minutes of the show. This Collective Minds Radio, y'all. We had a great build today talking about Aretha Franklin funeral, LeBron James, learning to trust white people. We talked about Grand Rapids, the kids getting stopped in Grand Rapids.
We didn't get to dive into this. But we can bring this up at a later time. You know what I'm saying? We actually did a show about this before. But
we need
to talk about this polygamy stuff again. Reason being.
Oh my, the hot topic.
Reason being, I know we're getting ready to get off, so reason being is some brothers here in town of ICPK Hebrew Israelite community, they are actually doing a lecture. And the name of the lecture is Sharing Your Man is the Cure for Single Black Women.
Woo!
That is not a cure at all. That's the problem. Let me just say this.
Now go quick. Go quick, because we got build on this later. We're finna run our time.
You know, it's so many women sharing men right now. That ain't solved nothing yet.
This is true.
It's women doing that now. That don't solve nothing. Maybe they don't know the proper way.
Maybe they're not doing it right.
Women sharing men forever. That does not solve it. That's not the cure at all. And whoever thinks such a ridiculous thing.
Maybe the men ain't. Maybe the men not doing it right.
Women sharing. You got a man right now who's sitting over about four women.
And he probably ain't doing it right. All five of them, as a group, ain't doing it right. So they might need a little mentoring. So if they go to this lecture, they might can learn how to do what they're doing already, but in a more productive manner.
No,
so anybody
in
the St. Louis area, I'm giving some free publicity. Some free food to the ICPK.
We don't need that.
September
29th.
September 29th on Delmar. I'll give you information some more at a later time. I give y'all some more information at a later time. We should all go and get us some information. Don't be scared.
Uh-oh. Tune in. It's polygamy the solution to the black family.
Yeah.
Coming soon on
to
the
be
left
continued.
Side.
No, it's not. No, it's
to
not.
Be continued.
On a lighter note, did y'all hear how Fox 2 did the guy Arvin, I think his name, Godfrey Owens, that played on the Cosby Show? They made it seem like it was bad. They took some pictures of him working
at
Trader Joe's.
Right?
Yeah, holding
Jones,
Whole
right,
Foods.
So
one of them, right. Yeah, and they was making it seem like it was such a mess. Why would they make that man feel bad for working at Trader Joe's? He got a family.
Yeah. He got an honest living, and he had some acting gigs recently. So, I mean, maybe he did. He
who was
to
that? Which cat?
The cat
Alvin.
Yeah,
man, Alvin that played on the Cosby Show, right? That was Bill Cosby's son-in-law. He married her,
yeah.
His oldest daughter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he married
okay,
the
got
yeah.
And they say he was working at a Trader Joe's, a Whole Foods, one of them.
Yeah.
He's an old man.
And they
now,
took
ain't
a picture.
Yeah,
he's
older.
Older.
But,
yeah,
but he's been in, he had a few credits here recently. So I'm like, maybe he was just doing that. Because that's what he wanted
yeah,
to do.
You know? But, yeah, he got a wife and kids. Ain't no telling, you know, why he was working there.
Right, and here's another quick story for y'all. Wiz Khalifa, they got on Wiz Khalifa because his son took the bus on his first day of school. And they was like, how
oh,
you rich
wow.
and your son taking a bus? I'm like, the internet need to stop it.
Yeah.
Wiz was like, chill out. He was like, being rich don't have nothing to do with the kid experience. He's like, my son said he wanted to ride the bus with his friends, and I put him on the bus. It wasn't nothing like, you dig what I'm saying? Like, he just did
right.
too much.
Yeah.
You dig what I'm saying? Because
Petty.
Man, Rick
Petty.
Can't ride the bus.
Petty.
That don't even make no sense.
We can be so petty. You know what I'm saying? It's terrible.
Yeah.
We got to be so petty.
Yeah, yeah petty.
Like,
speaking
petty.
Of petty, and I'm going to stand strong for the ladies.
Petty.
We do not need to share men. That's petty. When you have to share a man, that you are living in pettiness.
Oh,
that's
a, I'm standing petty. Up for my sisters. We do not need to go and support that event. In fact, if anything, we probably should just go and boycott
protest?
This mess. Yes, exactly. I'm going to protest. Yeah, that's why would you want to convince some woman to share a man? That is just ridiculous.
Oh, man.
Well, I mean, maybe women who don't want to share, maybe they being petty.
No.
I'm just saying.
No.
It's just
okay, so
a man.
So as a man, are you willing to have your lady have two different men? Are you going to let your lady share you with another man? Can she?
Well,
have
I give you two. I give you two answers for that. One is the event is called Sharing Your Man.
We
ain't
talking about that event.
It's the solution for single black women.
We're not talking about that event. That's my question.
And the second answer is no, because
no.
That's not necessary.
It's not necessary for me to have a man and another lady around.
Hey, you might have to do an event about that, Rigel.
That's,
sharing your woman.
Petty.
I mean, sharing
that's,
your man.
Yeah.
Sharing your man.
Yeah, I'm going to do an event. I'm going to do an event called
sharing your man is petty.
Sharing your man is petty.
Sharing your woman.
Sharing
do one called sharing your woman.
We might have to get that debate going. Speaking of debates in Sarnetta, we might have to do a debate. Sister
yeah,
Ryan,
we better sign up off here, y'all.
Yeah, let's get ready to sign out. Thank you to all the callers. Thank you to all the supporters. We definitely appreciate y'all. This Collective Minds Radio. I'm Brother Kev, Brother Mufasa, and Rigel Storm. We appreciate y'all. Peace. Peace,
love.
Love music. Boom, 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 boom.
Catch us next week.
Peace, y'all.
You niggas not real, don't debate me. And Jesus not real, don't debate me. The money not real, don't debate me. Your jury not real, don't debate me. You niggas not real, don't debate me. Don't debate me. Your jury not real. Don't debate me. You niggas. just not real, don't debate. Don't debate. And I ain't never been no goofy, is you crazy?
Is you crazy?
I pull up in that coupe, who wanna race?
Who wanna race?
And all my jury real, don't debate.
Don't debate.
I rock the biggest funk, don't debate.
Don't debate.
And all my legends jump, don't debate.
Don't debate.
And I ain't nothing like your man, don't debate.